Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your chance to win a $50 Smokehouse Barbecue gift card. We give stuff away each and every 7 and 8 o'clock hour on the show just for listening. Ryan, this hour, what do they have to do to win?
Oh, it's super simple. We like to keep it simple here in the morning. We know you're still getting up and around. Probably right. You've only had one cup of coffee. If you're anything like me, my child kept me up all night.
One of those nights, huh?
Diarrhea, since you asked.
We had growing pains the other night. I woke up in the middle of the night and I see my daughter behind our curtain, like plugging in the heating pad. I'm like, what is going on here? Growing pains. Okay.
See, you told her that. Now that's a thing, right? Like when she doesn't want to sleep, she just says growing pains.
My wife told her that.
My oldest son always says he has to poop right before bed. It's time to go to bed. I got to poop.
No, you don't. Go to bed.
Or that's the time of day he does. It's very regular.
Don't side with him, Kling.
Might be just
the next time
to go.
You hear this drop. The next time you hear that, be caller number.
Let's go with Diaz.
What?
Diaz.
10?
Yep.
Caller number 10. The next, I had to say the song in my head and everything. I'm not good at the Espanol. Next time you hear that, be caller number 10 to 913-576-7610. We're going to hook you up with some Smokehouse Barbecue just for listening.
Yeah, $50 at Smokehouse Barbecue going to get you a lot of them Cajun wings. Let me tell you about that right now. Ooh, baby.
Richard Christie is at it again. If you don't know who he is, he's a longtime member of the...
Oop, that was the wrong one.
...of the Howard Stern Show. He's breaking down once again on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, this segment brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com. Get twice the size engagement ring for half the price of all of those other big box stores only at Kriegel Mesh.
He's a Missouri native, Chiefs fan.
Kansas native, isn't he?
I thought he's from Missouri.
I thought he was from Chinook, Kansas.
You might be right.
They were making fun of him, saying he's from Kansas.
From Kansas,
okay,
yeah.
He's Kansas.
Yeah.
I was thinking he was a Missouri guy, but
Missouri doesn't get enough. Like in the national perception, it's easier to make fun of Kansas than it is Missouri. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like
fine.
You know, Kansas, Missouri, I think it's cities.
We played it a couple weeks ago. He broke down with Howard about how we got Mahomes.
Right,
and apparently he's at it again.
I talked to Richard over the weekend about this, and I'll share exactly what we discussed after we hear what he said on the Howard Stern Show.
Well, I mean, he's just like this amazing ray of hope that, you know, what you've brought to Kansas City is, and I'm getting emotional. Sorry, Patrick.
It's all good.
You've just brought so much happiness to people like me and, you know, Chiefs fans. I had so much fun watching you this year. And you just mean so much to me and to everybody in Kansas City and all my friends. We have a Chiefs bar here in Queens, New York that we watch from, and we just have such camaraderie.
This guy's thinking to himself, who is this weirdo? Like, I don't even want to be in Kansas City. I just got, you know, they picked me up.
Yeah, that's who hired me.
And you just made us so happy this year. And I am so excited for what's to come in the many years ahead. So thank you, Patrick.
No, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate everything you said. And hopefully we can get that Super Bowl for you here soon.
Yeah, I hope to see you in Miami a year from now. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Richard,
yeah.
You're super close with your dad. And you had told me how you guys kind of bond over the way Patrick plays and his whole story.
Absolutely. I mean, I was born in 74, so I didn't get to see the Chiefs win the Super Bowl in 1970, but my dad did, and my dream is for myself and my dad to be able to watch the Chiefs win the Super Bowl together.
He's like, is this guy dying? What's going on here?
He must have been so happy I wasn't there live.
He started crying like a little baby.
Boy, I don't know who needed a couple more guys more, Richard Christie or Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I don't think Mahomes really said anything during that. He just listened to Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show on Sirius XM Radio with that take right there. And I talked to Richard over the weekend. He let you be on the grid. He likes the show. Okay, he's a fan of ours. He started following us on Twitter, listens to the show, and so I reached out to him. I said, we'd love to get you on to talk about it. He goes, well, contractual obligation, fine. I offered to go on the Howard Stern Show and talk about this as well with Richard Christie. They didn't say yay or nay either way, so I'm holding out hope that one day I'll be able to go on with Howard and talk about this. But I think when you hear Richard there, man, if you are a fan of any sport and you have a dad and you guys grew up watching that sport with your dad, you know how important it is. It's not necessarily about the sport. It's about that bonding moment and about that special time that you had with your dad. It was for me growing up as a Giants fan. It wasn't necessarily about the Giants. It was watching the games with my dad. And then I went off to college and into my adult life, and we would still watch the games every Sunday together via the phone because it was about that quality time that you're spending with your dad. So I identify 100% with what Richard Christie is saying there and how he's getting emotional over Patrick Mahomes and about this version of the Chiefs, because he wants to see the Chiefs win, but more importantly, he wants to have that time with his dad. And that's the beauty of sports, I think, for me, is that it brings you together, man. It's a bonding moment. And I've said this for a while now. You know, the Chiefs are great when they're out there on the field and they're winning games. But when they're out there and they're having success, it brings people together. And the folks in Lot D that bond together and are helping Dan Joy raise money for his son as he fights cancer, and the other stories that we hear about, you don't hear about these great stories that bring people together like you do without the sports teams having success. And so here we are with the Chiefs having success on the cusp of starting a great dynasty. And Richard's getting emotional about it because that's the way that sports fans operate. We get emotional about our team. And while, you know, Howard and those guys were kind of giving him the business, you know, about crying, which is fantastic. Yeah. And Howard with the great comic relief, getting, because I was starting to get emotional listening to Richard Christie too. I'm like, oh my God, I totally feel. And then Howard comes in right at the right time. That's why he's the best in the business and a genius at what he does. Right at the right time, he mocks Richard Christie for crying to Patrick Mahomes. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I get it. I totally feel what Richard Christie's feeling, and I would bet you that a vast majority of Chiefs fans, guys, feel the exact same way that Richard Christie does about Patrick Mahomes. Getting emotional, talking about finally having our guy and finally having that opportunity to win and finally having that opportunity to win for our dads and our grandfathers and folks who lived for the last 50 years and didn't see this team win. That's what it's about. Cooter. And so the emotional outcry that Richard Christie here has, I 100% identify with that, and I totally 100% get where he's coming from because I've been there before.
You know, the other thing I kind of take away from listening to that and just seeing a couple of the exchanges now that they've had with Richard Christie on the Howard Stern Show is that, like, if you're not a sports fan, you don't get it.
You don't get it.
You just don't.
Yeah, it's very true.
You know, like Howard and Robin are like looking at this guy like, you're a grown ass man. What are you doing?
Right.
And we're like, I feel you, Richard.
Yeah, because, you know, like say sports isn't your thing, but music is. You don't get emotional like that over a band or something like that, you know?
Don't step between Hanson and my wife.
Okay, that's fair.
I'll cut you.
But, you know, like, nothing brings out the emotion, I think, more in a man, like, besides the birth of his kid or whatever, than sports and seeing your team be successful, because it is so awesome when it happens, and it's a euphoric feeling that you're right, Ryan. If you're not a sports fan, you don't understand it. But I would imagine most people listening are sports fans and understand, hey, man, Richard Christie speaking for all of us and feels exactly how all of us here in Kansas City do.
That's cool, too. He allowed himself to break down while talking to him.
Yeah, you know, it's right? Like it's awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't avoid it. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Or I'm all in, I guess, is probably in Richard Christie's
case. Yeah,
I'm all in on this. Yeah. Thing, so feel free to cry when you meet Patrick Mahomes.
Sure, and
others have.
I'm sure he's not the only one that has cried thinking about Patrick Mahomes.
All I can think of there is someone needed to jump in and go, all right, a couple more.
Yeah, couple more,
that's
guys.
That's the one time PR should have been in to cut something off. Like, we got to get Patrick out of
Howard tried to. Like, all right, you're
like,
done.
Creeped out by this thing.
Grown man.
New York Magazine is out with its best adult board games on Amazon, according to what they call hyper enthusiastic reviewers, which is terrific. So people are buying board games and then posting their reviews on Amazon, and they rank them based on people's reviews, which is kind of a funny way to go about it. Like, how excited are you about this purchase?
Sure.
If you give it 5 stars and you're, oh, this is the greatest game ever, I'm gonna get you ranked.
Yeah.
So Honestly, a whole bunch of games I never heard of.
Sure.
And I don't know. I mean, good for you if you find the time to play adult board games. That's kind of what I took away with. I haven't played an adult, a board game as an adult without like some really large kid component.
Like, what do you mean?
My daughter play, we have this ladybug game. It is the silliest, most random game where there's no skill involved. It's just like flipping cards and moving.
Mm-hmm.
Can't beat her. She wins every time.
Are
in this
you
game.
Drunk when you're doing
no.
this?
Okay. Maybe I should try that.
Yeah.
It's a game of complete chance.
Uh-huh.
Can't win.
Can't beat her in it.
It has ruined board games forever. I don't want to play any more board games. I can't win this random one. There's no reason I cannot win this game.
So you're taking mm-hmm. your ball and going home.
I am.
That's what he's doing here.
There is no reason I can't flip cards unless she's like really good at stacking the deck. Maybe she's a really good shuffler of cards and I need to get her elevated to the next level.
I just assumed Bob hated board games
because
I know he hates everything else that's fun.
No.
Because this would involve something that goes completely against you, which is like doing something while you're drinking.
Well, I thought you were going to be at least on my side with this because last night Bob sent this over to us. I'm like, I felt like a real nerd when I listed off about 15 games that I play on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't play any board games per se on the reg, but like when my wife's family gets together, like, you know, whether it be Christmas or whatever, they like to play this LCR game, left, center, right, where you roll the dice and you just kind of pass it around the table.
Great.
And usually by the time we're playing that game, I'm so full from dinner, I can't move and I'm uncomfortable. And it's like, oh, I got to roll these dice and, you know, figure out which way I'm passing these things around. That's the one game that I do play. But like, I just like to sit around and talk. I don't necessarily need to sit around and play a lot of these games, but I know people do. I mean, like that Cards of Against Humanity. There's one that Amazon is advertising called Drunk, Stoned, or Stupid. I might like to play that one.
That made the list, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That
yeah,
one's intriguing just
yeah.
by based
just
on the
by
name.
The name. Yeah.
Their overall best adult board game is What Do You Meme?
Yeah. May.
Best.
What Do You
yeah.
Meme?
Yeah, What Do You Meme? Best adult board games for medium-sized groups is Quick Wits.
Mm-hmm. I like the one that's titled Never Have I Ever. See, I could sit around and play that game. I think that would be a lot
this
of fun.
Gave a name to a game we already had.
We do? What's it called? Truth or Dare?
Never Have I Ever. Oh. Just say that, and then you just...
Well, there you go. Well,
come up with your own stuff.
Now, here's a good one. Couples, table topics, questions to start great conversations. Maybe we should
See,
get that and just start
these
doing this
games
on the show.
That they have are like party games. They're not really even board games.
Well,
they're
yes,
just like
they're adult games.
See, I don't consider that a board game. I consider a board game something that has a board that you have to play with.
Oh, like Chutes and Ladders.
Monopoly, Scrabble.
Scrabble
would be one.
Yeah. What about Mousetrap? Would you consider that a board
that
game?
That has a board.
It does, yes. Yeah. So these are like, I guess they're considered best board games for adults. But, I mean, I think you're splitting hairs here when you say you don't consider that a board game. It's a game that comes in a boarded box.
Text line's giving you the exact same advice I gave you. Play LCR with dollar bills and not chips, and it'll change the way.
No, we do. Everybody puts in like $10 or something that. Yeah, care. And you get real money at the end of
I mean,
the day. Yeah.
I play card games. We're playing dominoes. We're playing spades. We're playing Yahtzee.
Imagine like your house on a Saturday night is like a gaming parlor, and you're just sitting in there with like a visor on.
I do.
You're dealing,
I do.
And you're
it's
just
a bunch of dogs and
people
are all
passed out.
Ryan's playing Guess Your Weight.
Right. Yeah. Lining
step
up.
On up. Step on up.
Yeah. Like that's what I picture your house on a Saturday night just to be like some kind of carnival display. Like you got all kinds of these like random games and things going on.
I like to boogie.
There's cold pizza. There's beer. There's random children that may or may not belong to some of the people that have come over for the evening.
These are accurate.
You
actually.
Know. I mean. Like that's
just
what I
tearing
picture.
The hell up out of our playroom.
Yeah. So 69306 on the text line is a best adult board games for you. Let us know what the best ones are.
I have told you this before. I will say it again. Adult Uno. Oh man, you throw some drinks into Uno, it gets cutthroat. Man, we're playing by prison rules. And they have Dose now, by the way.
Yeah, I heard about Dose. Trace is going to be released here pretty quickly.
Very excited. Yeah. It took like 50 years to get to Dose. Let's pump our brakes.
They realize a good thing, man. They're going with Trace.
They're on the sequel thing.
Yeah. So that segment brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
David and Olathe, the winner this hour, the $50 gift card to Smokehouse Barbecue. Stuff to give away at 8 o'clock as well, just for listening. Coming up at 8. Boy, are we glad in this instance that Dad failed miserably. We'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
We're going to talk with former Chief Danon Hughes coming up at 7:45. He was a two-sport guy, played baseball in the minor leagues, and then, of course, played in the NFL with the Chiefs. You can probably relate a little bit to what Kyler Murray's going through.
Yeah, because if Danon didn't go to the NFL, he'd have been playing in the minor leagues, you know? And look, I understand as a 20-something-year-old kid, where would you rather be, under the lights of the NFL or under the lights of Lexington?
Riding on a bus.
Staying in a bad motel. Eating butter sandwiches.
Minor leagues, this is not fun.
It's terrible. People think these guys are loaded. They get their signing bonus, like if you're a first round, second round, third round pick. But if you're like a 12th, 14th, 18th round draft pick or something like that, and you're riding that bus to Oskaloosa, Wisconsin or someplace like that, and you're eating a butter sandwich and drinking used milk.
Not fun.
It's not fun
at
all.
Let's go play in the NFL. They do your laundry and shuttle you from city to city.
Yeah.
And sounds like them sugar and butter sandwiches, though.
Sugar.
That's right. Put a little sweetness in there, too.
Seems like a smart play. So Kyler Murray made the decision for football. Patrick Mahomes made the decision for football. He very well could have been a player. And some of his... Oh, let's just say it. He'd have been a starting shortstop or pitcher in Major League Baseball.
No, right now Patrick Mahomes would be.
He could do anything right now, is what I'm kind of insinuating.
He'd be in like Vero Beach, Florida right now, and nobody would know who he is except that his father used to, you know, play in the major leagues, and hopefully one day he'd be on like the top 100 prospect list or something like that.
I would think so.
But he wouldn't be the national hero and God's gift that he is right now. Had he gone the baseball route.
And he likely would have, because he wouldn't have gone to college for 3 years, for sure, right? He would probably would have been drafted out of high school. It might have been like year four, year
was
five.
Was he drafted out of high school in baseball? Has anybody even looked that up? I don't think he was, but.
Yeah, we played baseball at Texas Tech.
I don't think he'd have gone 3 years in baseball.
Yeah, I think he would have gotten out earlier. He would have been drafted and left earlier. Yeah. So he probably would have been.
He can't leave early.
No, he wouldn't have been able to leave, but he wouldn't have gone to college.
He wouldn't have gone to college. Yeah. Correct. Out of the high school
but,
route.
Yeah, would he be in Vero Beach or playing in the South Atlantic League somewhere? Yeah. Quite possibly.
He'd be playing in like the Northwest League right now, making his way through Idaho, trying to figure out, you know, if he could make it in the majors.
Yeah, that's why I thought Kyler Murray is the right call.
He'd be playing outfield for somebody by now, gunning fools out like Bo Jackson.
I wonder if you will ever see Major League Baseball kind of swing that pendulum. I know they're talking about it in the new collective bargaining agreement, but just like getting rid of the minor leagues altogether, just bringing dudes up to the major league level. I mean, who knows if these kids can do it or not? Maybe we see a lot of people fail at the big league level because they just get tired of playing baseball because they have to rough it in the minor leagues for so long, Josh. I mean, what if you brought up a 22-year-old kid and just let him play at the big league level and not worried about the minor leagues and just see what he could do up there at the big league level and say, go up there and see what you can do, my man, and play at the highest level.
I'm sure there's a lot of players that would say, yeah, let's just go ahead and do that.
Right.
Let's go find out if I could play at the majors and be done with this thing.
Right. Instead of wasting time in the minor leagues, you get it out of your system right away. If you can play, you can play. If you can't, you can't.
It's a process, though, Bob.
But baseball may need to change its process, Josh, if it wants to get athletes.
Had two listen to senior, though. He might have been playing baseball.
I remember coming home from a recruit visit with Texas, and they were recruiting him as a safety. And I was telling him, I said, why don't we just quit this and let's just concentrate on the other two? I said, we're just wasting the time with this football thing. And he said, Dad, I want to be out there with my teammates. I want to be out there with the guys I've been playing with forever. And I couldn't see myself in the stands watching him, and luckily he didn't listen to me.
Mahomes Sr. on TMZ.
Right.
If you're a safety, a little different than a quarterback, though,
could
right?
Have been the worst advice ever.
Right?
Right.
Like, if someone else wanted him to have a position change and he wanted to play quarterback, I could see, like, are you going to really be a safety or are you going to go try to be a shortstop?
Right. Because you can probably make more money being a shortstop, son, in baseball than you probably different. Could in safety and potentially in the NFL.
Quarterback, a little different.
Quarterback's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. You say it may have been the worst advice ever. You don't know that. I mean, what if he, you know, it would have been bad for us in Kansas City because we never would have got to experience him. But you also don't know what you don't.
MVP.
Yeah, but also you don't know what you don't know. I mean, the way that this kid plays, he could have gone on and been a very successful 20-year big league shortstop. I mean, we don't know that. To sit here and say that could have been the worst advice ever, on the surface it seems like that, but maybe it could have been some great advice. I mean, if he gave him that advice and he went on and became a great shortstop at the major league level, we'd be looking back at that going, man, how about that great advice from Dad? But the kid still wanted to be out there with his team. So I can't sit here and say that was awful advice. He was talking about in the moment at the time, do you want to go play safety at the University of Texas? Why don't you just screw that and go play baseball and let's focus on
although
that because you can make a lot of money there.
Is an NFL pipeline.
It is. It's true. Yeah, right. But he would be an MVP candidate right now had he gone to Texas and played safety. So maybe that was the good advice his dad goes, yeah, you're not going to go play safety. If you're going to go do this, let's go play quarterback somewhere and see what you can do at that quarterback position. I'm not going to let you go waste away and be a safety.
Although, I was going to say, if there's one school to be a safety at, Texas. They've had a really good run of getting NFL safeties out.
Yeah.
So. Maybe that wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world, but certainly wouldn't be MVP, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns on the cusp of being the richest player in the NFL.
Right. No, absolutely not. Right. But in Major League Baseball money, who knows? You could be making that Bryce Harper money of zero.
But in like 10 years, will they be sitting around laughing with each other and going, Dad, glad I didn't listen to you, huh?
Yeah.
Dad's going, yeah, you're right.
Right,
that was
probably.
Good. That was good. That was a good call on your part. Stick with that football thing. It worked out for you. Worked out for you.
That's right. I think the moral of the story here is don't listen to your parents.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that is 100% moral of the story. Yeah.
Carve your own road.
Yeah. That it? You do you.
Yeah. Not quite what we were going for, but anyway. The steam was lost, and now apparently they're out. We'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
It apparently lost steam and they're out. Not a surprise, in my opinion, that this has happened. But two women have resigned from the NFL's domestic violence group. One of them calling it a fig leaf. Two female domestic violence experts that were on the commission started by the NFL PA saying their suggestions have been ignored and the change within the organization has been insufficient. Deborah Epstein is the co-director of the Georgetown University Law Center, and she wrote an op-ed piece that said this was a fig leaf, was quitting this group, resigned, was no longer going to be part of paying lip service to domestic violence prevention.
Yeah,
this happened back in the summer.
Right. And it's important today because of the Kareem Hunt situation.
Because of the Kareem Hunt situation, yeah. Because at that time, they said, well, they're not doing anything about this.
Right.
And you kind of went, oh, okay, so what's going on? They formed a commission and it didn't pan out, mm-hmm. and they went away.
Basically, it was lip service to people.
Right.
You know?
Right. There was immediate out. There was, you know, a recent batch of outrage, right?
Right.
The NFL did something about it, formed this commission. These two women wanted to genuinely do something about this, found out, this wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
Right.
There's nothing happening. Okay, right. This happened in the summer.
We're basically just people who have a quote-unquote title, and there's really nothing going on.
Right. Fast forward to now. Fast forward to yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Kareem Hunt getting another chance.
Right.
Accused of pushing and kicking a woman. We've seen the video.
We've seen
the video in the Cleveland hotel. A couple other incidents led to his dismissal from the Chiefs. You knew he was going to get a second chance by somebody.
Right.
It was a matter of who. Well, it's John Dorsey. Going to old familiar, I guess, to the Cleveland Browns, who signed him to a one-year deal. Now, may not play at all. May play four games.
He's looking at like a 10 to 12 game suspension.
10, 12 has been thrown out there as a number.
Yeah, 12 is a high suspension. It's a very big number.
It really is.
Yep.
So he may have little to no impact on the field for the Cleveland Browns this year, but they would retain his rights.
Mm-hmm.
Or first right of refusal after the season's over.
Right, because he's a restricted free agent.
You can play that.
Right.
Well, we can maybe not get anything out of him this year, but we'd hold his rights, and if he follows the straight and narrow and gets himself back on the commissioner's good graces, blah, 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 we could maybe have him in the future and be really good.
And I think that's ultimately why the Browns are doing it, because if you look at where the Browns are as a franchise, 7 wins last year, probably looking at 9 wins this year, and then that third year, you know, in 2020, you get Kareem Hunt in there, you're probably looking at a team that has the ability to win that AFC North and challenge, you know, everybody else in the AFC once you get that going on. So I think they're more looking at long range than they are short term. But it gets back to, you know, you're talking about these ladies resigning from this commission in the NFL, and they were basically saying back in June that the NFL really doesn't care about domestic violence issues. They just don't, because quite honestly, Josh, they care about what their fan base cares about. And the fan base of the NFL, at least the vocal minority, maybe it's the vocal majority, I don't know, doesn't care if guys have domestic violence charges against them, if they hit women or anything like that. Fans don't care. The only thing that NFL fans have ever been angered over in mass has been guys kneeling for the national anthem.
For
and,
sure.
And that's why you see folks like Colin Kaepernick no longer in the National Football League, because the fans spoke. The fans said they don't want Colin Kaepernick. They don't want, you know, someone who takes a knee during the national anthem to be in the NFL. They got rid of Colin Kaepernick, and they quote-unquote cleaned up, if you want to use that term, the kneeling that was taking place in the NFL before the national anthem. I don't want to use that term cleaned up, but the NFL looks like they fixed a problem that we had here. Meanwhile, you got guys who are on tape kicking a woman in the head, and I'm battling with people out in public yesterday about why I don't think he should be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, because I don't believe in that type of behavior. But there are people out there who just don't care, and a lot of people just don't care if he kicked that girl in the head. He can help you win a football game, and so you're willing to look past that, but you're not willing to look past somebody taking a knee, exercising their civil rights and their First Amendment rights that can help you also win a game. So the NFL is just doing and following in its constituents' footsteps and giving the fans what they want. I don't blame the NFL for having Kareem Hunt on a team. I blame us as fans because we look the other way and don't care.
I do think it is a fair question to ask, though. Like, is it the NFL's responsibility to do something about what's happening with some of the members of their league? And is it the NFL's responsibility to play, just kind of reform out here in the general public? Like, is it on the NFL? Some may say yes. Like, if you believe that it was on the onus of the players to use their platform to enact social change and to talk about racial discrimination or anything like that, and you thought it was a good thing that players were protesting and using that platform to get that message out there, mm-hmm. then I think the same needs to be true about domestic violence. Like, if you think that the NFL needs to use this platform for good in one instance, I think that it needs to be good used for good in this instance as well. Mm-hmm. However, we've talked about this before. Like, the number of domestic violence issues in the NFL compared to the general population is actually lower. So, you know, I don't know what our company does to enact change about domestic violence. I don't know what a lot of companies in this country do to enact change in domestic violence. Now, we don't all have the same platform that the NFL does.
Yeah, we're not all prominent like the National Football League is. It has everybody paying attention.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, the job of the National Football League is to put on an entertaining football game.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, like, that's why I don't necessarily fault people like John Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns for doing their job, which is to put together the best football team.
Just be honest about it. I would just rather you be,
exactly.
be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because all the yesterday's, we're going to make him a better man. He's going to come back.
Nobody cares if he's a better man. We saw the man kick a woman in the head, and most people don't care about that.
And the NFL doesn't care.
Right. The NFL doesn't care.
The fact he's getting a second chance isn't because if you wanted to just help Kareem Hunt, you could. The Chiefs have.
Right.
After they cut him, you heard Brett Veach say, we talked to him. I feel like the Chiefs did a pretty good job. I don't want to pat them on the back for saying, but they took a step that a lot of teams wouldn't. They could have very well just weathered the storm.
The
and
Chiefs?
Kept Kareem Hunt around.
Sure, yeah.
And kept him around, just gotten through this, had him play at the end of it, moved on. There wouldn't have been a ton of pushback.
Oh, God, no.
You just weather that bad news cycle. And then it's over.
And look, it happened on Friday, when it all went down. You would have gotten through the weekend and probably would have been back on Monday, and everybody would have talked about the Raider game.
The Chiefs took a big step for NFL teams, which was actually to cut a guy.
Yeah.
That was a massive step.
Right.
And I think that it sounds like they've done a good job. They've reached out to Kareem. They tried to discuss it. Veach talked about it. It wasn't anything about football. It was about, you know, making sure he's doing what he needs to do. Great. Anybody can do that without putting him on an NFL team. And
yeah.
I'm not saying he shouldn't get a second chance and all those things, but it's just always just so hypocritical. It's just like, no, you're not reaching out to help some, because you could reach out and help to this person as a man anyway,
mm-hmm.
without signing him to a contract. But you signed him to a contract. Why? Because you think he's a damn good football player, and at the end of everything he has to get through, and whether it's bad pub or the commissioner's office suspension or all this stuff. At the end of the day, you're going to be able to get a good football player at the end of it and just go about your way and play football.
Right.
Just stop pretending that it's anything but that.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And I wish the NFL would just come out and say, look, we respond to our fans. We respond to what fans are talking about and how fans view issues. I mean, when you got a stadium of 76,000 screaming, Tyreek, 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 that shows you that fan bases don't care about domestic violence issues. I talked to a gentleman yesterday, Josh. He says, isn't that the coolest thing when all the fans are yelling, Tyreek? And I'm like, not really. I don't think so. The guy was, you know, kicked out of college for beating up his girlfriend and choking his girlfriend. I don't know why that's cool that we're cheering him, but you do you, man. I don't care. You go and cheer for who you want to cheer for. I'm not going to cheer for him. I think he's a good football player. I don't think he's a person that I would cheer for. I don't think Kareem Hunt's a person that I would cheer for. But I wish the NFL would just come out and say, look, our fan base has shown that they are mad when guys take a knee during the national anthem, and therefore we're not going to put guys who kneel for the national anthem in our fans' faces. But our fans have also shown that they don't care if guys commit crimes off the field, if they have domestic violence issues, they're going to cheer for those guys. So we're going to allow them to go out there and cheer for our guys. At the end of the day, the NFL is a business. And at the end of the day, having Kareem Hunt on the roster of the Cleveland Browns is not going to hurt their business model one iota. But having guys who take a knee for the national anthem, that was hurting their business model. And that's why they got out of the business of having guys kneel for the national anthem, because it was hurting their business. If you don't want domestic violence dudes in the National Football League, then you, albeit by yourself, maybe you got a buddy, stop watching the NFL, write to the NFL. Have the outcry that folks did when Colin Kaepernick took a knee. That will rattle cages inside the NFL. But if you don't do that, then you can't sit around and complain that the NFL is giving these guys jobs. Because when it bothered people that Colin Kaepernick and others took knees, they voiced their opinion. And the majority, or the vocal majority, or the vocal minority, however you want to say it, they won. And the NFL sent a message that they weren't going to have that in their league anymore. And until people react to domestic violence in the NFL the way that they reacted to guys taking a knee in the NFL, Josh, nothing is going to change.
I would agree. I would agree.
That's 70, just reality.
70%, we put a poll up last week, 70% would welcome Kareem Hunt being back with the Chiefs.
The NFL is basically saying it's okay to beat a woman and get a second chance, but it's not okay to take a knee and get a second chance. And that's on us, the fan base.
I do think there is a bit of a, I don't want to call it a false narrative, but I think that there is we react more when it's violence against a woman than it is violence against a man. If you recall, Kareem Hunt punched a man in the face when he was in Ohio,
right?
Allegedly.
Right. And a guy here allegedly in Kansas City.
We don't talk about those, do we? Like, we talk about the violence against women. And I think it's because it's an easy stance for a lot of us to take when we say violence against a woman is bad. Well, that's duh, right? Like,
right.
Violence against anybody is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we should be focusing on that. But again, these guys aren't choir boys, Bob. Like, we want guys that are going to be nasty and are going to fight. And, like, we want guys that are going to be doing that to be professional football players. So there's a real disconnect between what we want from guys on the field and when we allow them to turn it on and turn it off. And, look, I'm not condoning anything that Kareem Hunt did, but that's the personality that he grew up with. That's the environment that he grew up with. You saw the USA Today story about his family.
His dad was only arrested 35 times, Ryan. Okay, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's just a couple of blips on the radar.
Right, but I'm not trying to say that, you know, I don't want to say, like, apples don't fall far from the tree, but, like, that's the environment that he grew up in. And some of those things that he witnessed growing up, he believes, at least in my estimation, that's the way it's supposed to be done. That's the way that things get handled, and that's the way that it goes. I mean, like, not all of us come from the same background, and not all of us had the exact same advantages or disadvantages growing up.
Yeah, like, that's an excuse. You know what's right and wrong. What's right and wrong, hitting a woman or hitting anybody, let's just, as you were saying, hitting anybody is not right. Just because you grew up around that doesn't mean you have to follow in those footsteps.
I'm not saying that it makes
and
it
so
right,
I'm
Bob.
Not,
what
I'm
I
not going to sit here and say, well,
his...
he grew up in that environment, so it's tolerated. It's not. It's not tolerated. It's not okay.
I think we need to at least
break
acknowledge that when we're talking about the people that we're talking about. We're talking about a league of guys who a vast majority of them don't come from privileged backgrounds. A vast majority of them grew up around things like that and grew up in instances and situations. So why should we be so shocked when people that grew up in situations like that, who are several years removed, mind you, not like 10, 15, 20 years, they are just fresh out of college, a lot of these guys. And we're going to admonish them for things like that? Like, to me, I get it, and I'm not trying to condone anything that Kareem Hunt does, but we're not employing choir boys in the NFL. And so just have some transparency about it and talk about it in real terms. If it doesn't matter to you, if what matters to you is putting the best players on the field and giving the best possible product out there, then just say that.
You're talking to the NFL to say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think we as fans have to be genuine with ourselves too, because I think that's the case. And look, I don't want to throw anybody out here, but like there's a lot of people on the text line that want to try to make excuses for it. Oh, well, it wasn't domestic violence because there was no relationship between it. It's battery. It's assault.
Like, he kicked a woman in the head. Who the hell cares what you're going to call it?
He didn't kick her in the head, Bobby. He kicked her in the butt. Regardless of the anatomy of the situation.
Oh, so it's okay then?
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying get the facts straight.
He kicked the woman. I don't care where he kicked her or what he did to her. He kicked a woman.
I just think that you need to be genuine with yourself about why and what you're trying to ingest and watch. Like, we can't sit here and get all high and mighty about things whenever it's domestic violence or violence against a woman. Yet when a man goes out and punches another man, we go, well, that's fine. He's a football player. He's supposed to be mean. He's supposed to be nasty. We just need to be honest with what we're saying here. If you want to have those guys play football, if you just want to see the product on the field be good, if all you care about is seeing the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, then none of the other stuff matters.
Kneeling included.
He picked football. We'll see what's ahead for Kyler Murray with one of ours who once played both baseball and football. Former Chief Danan Hughes drops by next.
Fesco in the morning.
Biggest story in the NFL yesterday before Kareem Hunt was signed by Cleveland was Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Made his decision yesterday. The Oklahoma quarterbacks decided he is fully committed to becoming an NFL quarterback and having to pay back now the Oakland A's.
Walked into the J yesterday talking to the guys about Kyler Murray and how he chose football over baseball. Walked out going, man, did you see Kareem Hunt got signed by the Cleveland Browns?
That happened quick, yeah.
About 90 minutes yesterday.
The storyline kind of changed on the day. But Kyler Murray, not going to try to play two, at least for now. He's going to go play quarterback in the NFL first, and baseball could wait for him. The Oakland A's will retain his rights. He has to pay back most of his signing bonus that he's already received, and then loses about $3 million that was going to be coming to him in like March.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Yeah, you hope he didn't spend too much of that. That would be my fear. But a guy who once had this similar decision, played both for a while, baseball and football, was our own. Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Good morning, Danan.
What's going on, fellas?
Did you like the decision Kyler Murray made for himself yesterday?
I don't know. I don't know if I liked it or disliked it. I appreciated it, I guess, and I can totally understand it. I guess that would be the answer. I mean, the kid's grown up playing two, probably three sports his entire life, and I think that's a dream for most kids to not have to give up a sport. At least that's what it was for me. And it was the toughest decision I ever made was to give up baseball. But if you don't have to, and I want to put quotes around have to, then why should you? And, he has the luxury of being able to dictate his future right now and control it. And, I give props to him.
So why did you pick football over baseball, Danan? I mean, you did hit 300 in the minor leagues. Did you just not want to deal with bus rides to Kenosha, Wisconsin, eating butter sandwiches, staying at the Fleabag Inn, or what?
No, actually, I think there was just a chip on my shoulder. I went to the University of Iowa. They were outstanding in affording me the opportunity to play two sports there. Every promise that they gave me in the recruiting trail, they lived up to. And I've always appreciated that of them. But when I signed to play baseball, baseball is my first love. You guys have heard me say that. It still is my first love. But I was supposed to be drafted high in football in the second, maybe early third round. I broke my foot at the Hula Bowl, and I dropped to a seventh round pick. So there was a little bit of a chip on my shoulder that said, hey, I need to prove that I can play in the NFL. I want to prove that that these teams passed on me, that they were wrong. And I kind of felt at the time that, hey, if I don't roll the dice on football, that door will close real quickly. But baseball with the minors, if things fail in football, I could always go back. And I contemplated for a short period of time after my football career was over in going back to baseball. But that door was open. And so it's one of those things where Kyler Murray is doing the right thing right now. Everything needs to be focused on football until he or that door closes.
And the position he plays, nearly impossible to not focus on. A quarterback's just a different beast, is it not? I mean, you couldn't yeah. dabble in baseball being a quarterback.
Well, Russell Wilson goes to spring training. Now, I know that's more of a appearance thing and a novelty, but it will be tough. I mean, the way the demands are for quarterbacks and you know, just the demands in meetings and prep and so on and so forth during OTAs and mini camps and then obviously training camp, it could make it difficult. But I'd contend, as a person that's been there, you have been conditioned. We all know, you guys in radio, you guys wake up probably without an alarm every morning because you've been conditioned to get up and get going for your radio show. As an athlete, that's what we've been doing our entire lives. And it's not work. And if you have that mindset that, hey, this is just something I want to extend for another 2-5 years and do my best at, then it's not work for him. It might sound like work for other people that haven't done it, but it's not really work for him. So he's already in that mindset. He's, from a business perspective, guys, he's doing everything he's supposed to. I go back to my days. When the baseball draft was coming around in June of 92, I was 100% a baseball player. Every coach, every scout, every GM that called me, hey, baseball's my love. I want to play baseball. As soon as I got drafted, hey, guys, you know what? I'll sign, but I want to go play my senior year of football. I want to finish what I started at Iowa. As soon as I signed that, I went back and played, and then I rolled the dice with the NFL draft. This is a business decision. It can't be people that criticize. You can't have it both ways. Either it's a business or it's a game. And from his perspective, from my perspective, you watch the 30 for 30 with Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. It's a business for a lot of guys, and they have to make business decisions.
It has to be, man. It ultimately, at the end of the day, has to be a business decision. And I'm looking at it right now, Dane, and all first-round draft picks got more money in a signing bonus than Kyler Murray did in his signing bonus with the Oakland A's in baseball. The 32nd pick got over $5 million in last year's draft, and if he's projected as a first-round draft pick, he's going to cash in more by being drafted in the NFL and never playing a down than he would had he taken that money from the Oakland A's. So a business decision, you're 100% right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And let's face it, he's going to the minors. You know, most teams, especially when you talk about the sabermetrics and all that, they want guys to have, what, around 500 minor league at-bats before they even think that they can make it to the major league. So he's going to be there for a while. He'd be there for 4 or 5 years. The best athlete I've ever been around is Monte Harrison from Lee Summit West High School. I coached him. Watch him do some phenomenal things, baseball, basketball, football, gymnastics, whatever. And he got drafted in 2014. He's probably going to make his debut this year in 2019. So there's time that Kyler can go back, you know, God forbid any injuries factor in, but there's time that he can go back and play baseball and catch up to, you know, where guys are in his draft class. It's not like he was going to break in opening day roster for the Oakland A's this year. So I know it sounds like a lot. I know it sounds like, you know, he's playing both sides of the fence and indecisive, but he's making a business decision based on his heart and based on how he's done his entire life. And I give him credit for that.
Danan, thanks for the time this morning.
No problem, guys.
That's former Chief Danan Hughes, playing the minor leagues as well. The Brewers system. Man knows what it's like to have that two sport decision, and not an easy decision, but a business decision, certainly it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think he probably doesn't want to play football too. He wants to play quarterback.
Look, if you're guaranteed a first round draft pick in the NFL and you're playing baseball as well, you're going to the NFL every single time because of the money and because you don't have to deal with the minor leagues. I think baseball's at a crossroads right now. Kyler Murray should rattle a lot of cages in Major League Baseball and say, we got to figure some things out. We're losing players by the day.
Quicker route.
Yeah.
Your chance to win this hour's prize, a $100 gift card to Spa on Penn. That's right. Just for listening, find out details next. And this isn't the Kansas City we want. We'll discuss it next.
Fesco in the morning.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!